Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm back, baby, and I'm ready to talk all things Nihon.
Excellent. That's what we want. That's why we hired you for this.
I'm straight.
How you been?
Good, man. Yeah, sun's shining here. It's a lovely day in the neighbourhood. I've had a full week. I'm pretty
and still
exhausted,
no coronavirus.
Still no coronavirus. No, they've it's gathering a pace, but just a lot of people are just cancelling things, and it's a little upsetting. But I'm sure we will all get through it if we stick together, or actually don't stick together, stay away from each other. If anything, ignore what I just said.
Yes, that's God. You're ridiculous.
Sorry,
boy.
Everyone.
I'm tired. I got up really early. I got up really early and filmed an interview for a documentary. I think you know that we're doing a documentary about the tsunami.
Yes.
Because this week is the anniversary of the Tohoku earthquake and the tsunami. And though Pete Donaldson came along with me to help me film the tsunami documentary, he's not actually in it, which is a shame, really, because it would have been good to put you in it. But it is a serious documentary. And the idea of you popping out of like some sort of room and just be like, hey, Pete, whoa, it would have ruined the tone a little bit.
I have done charity work in Zimbabwe and Kenya, and I have got a serious voice when I need to, all right? I am all about pain. But no, yes, it would be unwelcome me popping up and going, hello, everyone! But I was kind of in some of your footage when you were filming with your big, new, shiny drone in a building that had been hit by the tsunami.
Well, actually, so for the documentary, one of the scenes Pete and I went out to film was we did some fishing in the morning, 4 a.m. It was quite fun, but pretty hardcore getting up that early on no hours sleep. But there's a shot of the boat and these guys like fishing out seaweed from the sea, carving it off like a stick. And then in the background, at the far end of the boat, you can see quite clearly Pete Donaldson's face just poking out from behind the boat. I'm probably going to leave that in as an Easter egg. I'm going to leave that in and see how many people spot you. Obviously, I've ruined the surprise if you are on the podcast listening now. But for everyone else, it'll be quite interesting to see if they spot you and go, wait a minute, that's not a Japanese person. That's a person from a white people country. And
very white in my case.
So that'll be interesting. Yes,
and indeed. Positively ghostly.
Yeah, God. I was pretty pale because I felt like being sick on the boat. Horrific morning, but good fun.
Yeah,
that'll be coming out this week, so do check that out. And but I had to get up really early and interview. You might recall, I don't know if you saw it, Pete, the tsunami documentary from 2 years ago, back in 2018. I did that documentary about the same time we started this podcast, thinking about that makes me feel like we've done this podcast a long time.
Forever.
Really makes me realise 2 years is quite a long time. But at the end of the documentary, we had the story of Ichio Kano, the woman who owns this lovely little inn called the Tsunakan in Kesenuma. And she had a hell of a terrible time. You know, her house and her business got washed away. And then her husband passed away in a fishing incident, and I think her daughter as well. So she lost her family, and she had this terrible time, and yet she's the most positive, happy, upbeat person I've ever met. And the viewers loved her so much back then in the first documentary that I felt compelled to go back and revisit her and, you know, see how she's doing. So it was great. And I went, got up really early this morning, drove all the way to Kesedima and interviewed her. And she's doing great. And I'm looking forward to getting her back on screen in front of all the viewers, because I think people are going to love her as much as they did the last time. But she's such a nice person, so optimistic and so warm. And I need that. I think it's always good to meet people like that.
Usually.
Like you, Pete.
Yeah,
you're optimistic and warm.
Well, I think sometimes you meet people in life and you're like, and they are just, you know, sunny. You've got such a sunny disposition. You're just like, where's that come from? You're like an angel or something. You're sort of like otherworldly. Being happy is like coming from another world sometimes. You're like, oh, you've managed to sort of maintain this kind of like air of happiness, and, you know, there's a distinct lack of anxiety in your soul. And it's just, oh, it's wonderful. Very magnetic people.
She's lovely, yeah. Mm. And you referred to her as an angel, and the way I framed it, only afterwards did I realise she does look a bit like an angel, because she's sitting in front of the Shoji sliding doors, and all the daylight's pouring in through them, back like the whole, like everything behind her is really well lit.
Yeah.
But yeah, look forward to that. But it's been a good week. I released the Abroad in Japan website last week, abroadinjapan.com, an original website name. Have you been playing around on it, Pete? Have you enjoyed the website?
I have, yeah. I like the little previews of the videos. I like the trip plans you can have, because that's the thing that people ask me all the time, even though I have very limited experience, because I've only been there a few times. But like, people will ask me, oh, where should we go? Where should we? I've got 2 weeks in which to do all of this stuff. What do you think we should prioritise? It's all up there. AbroadinJapan.com. Gosh darn it.
And our podcast, 2 weeks in Japan, that we did at the start of this year, talking about our favourite places and, you know, 12 places that you and I love to visit. That's on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're coming to Japan, I think it's quite a cool website. And I try to say that in an objective way. Obviously, it's my website, but I kind of made the website that I would have wanted back when I first came here about 7 years ago. Because back then, you know, there wasn't a whole lot about Japan outside of Tokyo and Kyoto, Hiroshima, the big ones, you know, the key places. And of course, back then, there really wasn't much of a tourism industry in Japan. They had 8 million overseas visitors a year, now 30 million. I made the website that I wanted when I came. And certainly back then, when I typed in Tohoku and I typed in the town that I was going to live in, there was nothing. And so hopefully the website will solve that issue. But if you come into Japan, you want some unique ideas for your trip, check it out. Alternatively, if you just want to laugh and you want to get some funny quotes and moments from a broad Japan history, whether it's Natsuki, Ryotaro, myself or Pete, there's a great soundboard on there with all your favourite quotes, and you can listen to them and download them. I remember one of the quotes on there is Natsuki from the Wankasoba video we did like 4 or 5 years ago, and he wins a bet to eat the most amount of noodles, and his quote is, wow, I have a money. And I love that quote. Somebody downloaded that and they told me that they'd set that as their payday ringtones. Every month when payday comes around, their phone goes, wow, I have a money. And that is what I want, and I'm going to do that. And of course, is what a soundboard was made for. It's been quite fun seeing the different ways people have used it. So yeah, check it out. I hope it helps you on your trip, and I hope it brings you a lot of joy.
It's a one-stop shop, because I like it, Japan. It is a once-in-a-lifetime destination for a lot of people, and so people will book that trip months and months and months, possibly years in advance, and they will just spend an entire year trying to learn as much of the language as they can, trying to sort of plan their trip and stuff. And as I said, I get asked all the time, like, where to go, what to do, what do I need, like, you know, JR passes and stuff. And abroadinjapan.com, check it out. Also, actually, thinking about our sponsor that have been working with us quite recently, I was chatting to them about this very subject. And whether you're applying for like a JET program and stuff, and you need a Japanese SIM card, mobile.com. This is a bit of a sell, but also genuinely a product that I'm quite into, because I've used it 3 or 4 times myself before. I used to use little Wi-Fi dongles. Now I've got like an unlocked phone, and I can just get involved and just get myself a SIM card, and I don't have to worry about anything like that. I can still retain my number on like WhatsApp and stuff like that to maintain contact with the people at home. And so we got a bit of an offer running at the moment. If you get yourself to mobile.com, mobal.com /abroad in Japan. If you're heading over to do the JET program, they have long-term situations. It's not on a contract. You don't have to worry about being tied to like 18 months of investment. You can just pick yourself up a SIM card and away you go, or even just a mobile phone. So yeah, check it out, mobile.com/abroad in Japan. And that's my sell for today's show.
But credit where it's due, it's something you've used. One thing that amazes me is whenever my friends come to Japan, they're always so underprepared with SIM cards and Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to like tether their phone to mine. It's a bloody nightmare. And then you come over and you've got your everything sorted out. And it's just like, how has Pete done this? Well, how has Pete got better internet than I have?
Well, before I did that, I used to get, like, from a different company, I used to get those little Wi-Fi dongles. And it was just a bit of a nightmare because it always had to be charged. My friend lost one in a club, I seem to recall, and we couldn't find it again. So, but you know, it's just a bit of a it's just another thing you don't need to deal with. So, mobile.com/abroad in Japan.
Very good.
Good.
Very good indeed.
As you saw.
As you know, we like to do a news roundup every week. And this week, I saw an interesting article about a soba restaurant in Japan. I'm quite interested in psychology and I was going to say the art of manipulation, but that sounds terrifying. Now, I'm quite interested in psychology, why people make the choices they do and what leads them to go down different pathways. And I came across this article. It was really interesting. It's how a soba restaurant had basically encouraged new recruits to come up and sign up for a job or apply. And they did three adverts to try and get people to apply for this job. And the first two failed with no applicants, and the third one got 50 applicants. And I'll read out the tweet, because this is a viral tweet, did the rounds, and it got snapped up in the media. So the first tweet that this soba restaurant did to try and encourage people to sign up was, work at a beloved, long-standing, 120-year-old restaurant. Right, that was that was how they kind of sold this place, how they sold the job. They got zero people, zero applications, working at a beloved, long-standing, 120-year-old restaurant. The second ad, work at a popular restaurant that attracts many customers from far away. Again, zero applications. The third ad read, work at a place where you don't have to speak to anyone all day. That led to 50 applications, and they hired someone right off the bat. Really interesting. And the conclusion this restaurant came to was that, you know, people are more interested in being able to envision what their day-to-day work life is going to look like rather than simply acquiring the prestige of working at an esteemed establishment. You know, it was kind of, it's the best way to advertise a job is to be a bit more selfish about it and to encourage people to think about, you know, think about themselves in that role.
Plenty of cigarette breaks.
What do you reckon?
Just give them plenty. You can have as many cigarette breaks as you like and free noodles. And I'm quite nice, really. Yeah, it's true, isn't it, Rick? Because people, I also find that, like, you know, people look for jobs, and you know, we've all done it in the past where we get offered a job, and there's a, you know, there's always something about a job that you're not 100% on. So you're just like, this isn't my dream job. So is this tiny part of my day going to be really, really annoying? So like, getting a bit of an image about what it's going to be like to work there is pretty, useful, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, most ads for, like, working at a company...
pretty generic,
like,
aren't they?
...ads, they're generic and they usually boast about the company rather than what you're going to be doing and what it's in it for you, basically. So I thought that was kind of pretty interesting. But, yeah, I mean, that's what you listen to this podcast for, finding people to recruit to your soba restaurant.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. Speedy Japanese.
Whoa, we're back!
Speedy Japanese. Back on the subject of that topic of soba restaurants. Do you know the word for silence, being quiet? Obviously, if you do work at that soba restaurant, you will be silent, you will be quiet, you will be alone in the corner, cutting and preparing noodles. But what is the word for silence?
Fermez la bouche in French. Shut up. I don't know this, to be honest, Chris.
You won't know it.
No.
But you will be able to memorise it easily.
Right.
Because it sounds like two words rolled into one. And the word is chinmoku. Chinmoku. Literally, chinmoku. Chinmoku. And that means silence or being chinmoku. Quiet. How are you going to remember that? How are you going to use your ingenious method?
A man's chin and Dr. Moku, the Hiragana language learning service that I have used to learn Hiragana. Just him.
Or someone's chin being
Mocked.
Yeah.
Well, if you put your... I'm doing it now. If you put your finger to your lips, where's your hand? It's on your chin. Chin Moku. Silence!
Brilliant. Interestingly, that is also kind of like a Japanese philosophy, I'd say. That, you know, it's, I don't know if you've been in Japan long enough to experience that, but often when you are in a serious situation in business or in just a work environment in Japan, often people above you, your boss or whatever, will have you for a meeting and will just sit in silence often. I think I talked about this before when I met the principal of the school that I was working in. Great principal, very intimidating. And I went in to meet him. He was like, where are you from? Why are you in Japan? Why did you come to Japan? The usual questions.
Yeah.
And I'd sit there sipping on my green tea, answering the questions. And they just stopped. And he went, and then looked at the floor and just sort of nodded gently, like, continuing to nod. And I was like, and I kind of nodded along as well, like in agreement right. of something that hadn't even been said. And apparently, it's quite a popular thing in Japan. It's a big part of the culture, chinmoku, to be silent. And apparently, I haven't really... to me, right, silence is awkward. If there's a silence, it's just bloody awkward. And so that's how I felt right there and then, the first time I came to Japan when that happened. I felt really awkward. Mm. But as I... the longer I was in Japan, the longer I experienced this and the more frequent I experienced this. We'd have like meetings with all the English teachers and they'd just sit in silence, often for 3 minutes. And I'd just be like, this is so weird. Why is nobody talking?
It sounds perfect. It has to be said. It sounds just perfect.
It's just surreal and uncomfortable. But apparently it helps to build mutual understanding. And it's just better to just be quiet. It's a really weird situation. But second word... I think we've had it before, but I'd like to test you on it again to see if you remembered it. Obviously, we talked about employment. In this case, the Soba restaurant job. What is the Japanese word for job?
One of my favourites, shigoto.
How do you remember that? And good, well done,
shigoto. I remember that. I think some words you remember through your mnemonics and stuff like that, but I just remember that because shigoto wa radio no DJ, even though I'm not a radio of the DJ of the radio anymore.
I remember when we first started doing this podcast, I think you said that line every week. You love that line.
Yeah, well, it's just really easy. It's really easy to remember, and I was in a it's very easy to explain what you do, because obviously like podcasts, Japanese people don't listen to a lot of podcasts unless it's like English language learning ones or just radio shows that have been syndicated. But to make it nice and simple, I just say radio DJ.
Radio DJ.
Radio no DJ.
Yeah, I mean, you know what podcast is in Japanese, right?
I imagine if I was a betting man, it would be podcasto.
Podcasto. It's quite complicated. It's not like... it's not like podcasto, it's like chiasto. If you imagine like kind of K-Y-A, kia.
Podcasto.
Really difficult word because of that, but there you go. You should know it, because you're not a radio DJ. I forbid you from referring to yourself as a radio DJ, because you're not anymore. You left that life behind. Now a podcast DJ.
Put my guns away.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Now, let's turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson? Who
we
got?
We have got a message from Alexander. Hello, guys. Love all the content you both make, especially this podcast. I listen to it regularly when I'm cooking, washing the dishes, and even when I'm taking a bath. Oh, Alexander, stop it. I wanted to ask you both about your sleeping experiences when you first travelled to Japan or other countries. Was it hard to get good sleep, or was it a pleasant experience? Thanks for all the good laughs. Smiley face, Alexander. Well, I'm going to take this one. Jet lag is a pig, an endless pig that will never leave you alone. If you are into gaming the system with sleeping tablets, I recommend Drewell, Drewell. And if you want to try and explain that to a pharmacist in Japan, good fucking luck to you, because it's impossible. remember when we were in that, before we went out to see... the farmers of the seaweed on that morning. We stayed in a hotel, like a little business hotel in the middle of nowhere, Chris. And the beds...
Horrible hotel.
...were the beds... The Japanese love a hard bed.
Yes.
They love a hard mattress.
I still have nightmares about it, honestly. When P and I went to do the aforementioned fishing scene for the documentary that's come out this week... we stayed at a business hotel that Ryotaro had booked, and Ryotaro likes to book somewhere cheap because he's annoying.
Looking after the pennies, man.
The beds were made out of rocks, and there was no air conditioning, but there was a heater. There was like a vent pumping out 45 degree Celsius like air. So it was like a sauna, like a steam room, like a sauna. So I had to open the window. I had to prop open the bloody window, and it was like minus 10 outside. So the cold air was coming into my face, freezing my face. The rest of my body was on fire, and the whole of my body ached from just sleeping on some bricks, which was a bed, apparently.
Love it.
But I didn't sleep very well last night, and I stayed in a really nice hotel, and I couldn't sleep. So I don't feel that sleep is related to the country. I think it's related to
caffeine
how much
intake.
Yakitori fried chicken you ate the night before, which, in my case, was a staggering amount. And that's probably why I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
Got one from Simon from Boulder in Colorado. I enjoy listening to your podcast while I work processing images, taking my spacecraft on the other side of the solar system. What? That's better than every job. That's the coolest job in the world. Well done.
I bet that's a lot of data.
I am planning. It is a lot of data. That's insane, though, to process images sent by spacecraft. That is insane. I want to know more, Simon.
But I bet we imagine it's like, just working in Photoshop all day. It won't be. It'll be dealing with gargantuan data sets, terabytes and terabytes of data, and trying to sort of like get them into little databases and make pictures out of them. I bet it's way satisfying, but not as immediate when it comes to creating an image. There, I've said my piece.
Shots fired at Simon. Yeah. Defend yourself, Simon from Boulder. Let us know how good it is. But Simon continues, I'm planning my second trip to Japan, where I will, over the course of 2 weeks, ride all of the Shinkansen bullet trains, every kilometre from Hakodate to Kagoshima, making use of the JR rail pass. What is the best and or worst experience that you have had on a Shinkansen? Simon from Boulder. That's an interesting question. And that's a hell of a journey. Bloody hell. Hakodate to Tokyo is about,
three and a half hours.
Well, Hakodate to Tokyo is probably about 3.5 to 4 hours. And then Tokyo to Kagoshima is another 5, 6 No, it's probably more than that. It's probably 8 or 9 hours. That's a hell of a day. Well, what an adventure. And I don't imagine he's going to be doing it all in one day. So
well, the Shinkansen would only go to Kumamoto, I think. And then you got to change to a local service, I think, to get to Kagoshima. So a little bit slower.
But good question.
Great
what
question.
Is your best and worst experience you've had on a Shinkansen? That's a tough one.
Ooh. Well, with the Shinkansen, they're away from the most beautiful scenery, I'd say. You can occasionally get a lovely scene, but it's just so quick that you don't really have time to sort of process a lot of it. Some of the local services from like Aoshima to Kagoshima up to Kumamoto, very, very beautiful. So not necessarily Shinkansen, but there's some beautiful scenery on those trains.
That's my favourite. I ride bullet trains a lot and I love them because they're just so fast, they're so smooth, so comfortable. My best experience was probably just the time I got Grand Class. Grand Class is the, you know, really swanky first class cabin on a bullet train, and it costs about twice what an economy seat does. And I got it because my friend was coming from the UK to Japan, and I thought, let's impress him, let's show him how good Japan can be. And we sat there, and it was amazing. Because in the Grand Class cabin, you get a waitress or a waiter, typically a waitress, though. And she'll like come over and serve you food and drinks. You can have like anything you want to eat and drink. And like we had sake. She served this beautiful sake. And we just sat on the train for 3 hours, all the way from Aomori City to Tokyo. And just sipped this wonderful sake and reminisced on our friendship. That sounds really lame, but that's what we did.
No, that's nice.
As for the worst experience, I actually can't think of a bad experience on a bullet train. Apart from the fact, I found in recent years, if I have a coffee while I ride a bullet train, I get really nauseous. And I don't know why that is. Any idea why?
Because it's your fifth bloody coffee of the day, you idiot.
I mean, it probably is. Yeah, it's probably a caffeine overdose. But I just find something about moving really quickly and having a coffee just makes me nauseous. So test that theory out, Simon. Have some coffee on the bullet train, but enjoy your time in Japan and have an amazing trip. I mean, that is it's going to be amazing. Everybody loves a bullet train. Have a great time.
Stunning.
Got one from Daniel from Denmark. It says, "Dear Chris and Pete, love your videos and podcast. It's just undiluted goodness." I like that. Have to use that as a tagline for the podcast. Undiluted goodness. Thank you. I've been a devoted follower since 2017. So basically, I've been to Japan twice now and I want to go back. Amazing place. I have one question for you and Pete. A famous Danish song from Nick and Jay is called, and I'm going to butcher the language here, it's called Endag Till, I can't read that, Endag Till Beige. Endag Till Bag. Any ideas, Pete?
Maybe Till Baga.
Right, that's it.
Maybe.
And the song asks the question, what would you do if you were told that you had one day left of your entire life? Nick and Jay, in the song, would buy a car and cruise around, but I assume you'd want to do something else. Here's the song. Thank you for the good times. Daniel from Denmark. Good question. I like that. Philosophical.
Not being able to drive a car means that would preclude me from doing that. So maybe I'd just steal a car and just ride it around.
Coolish in hand.
I'd spend the last hours of my life in prison because I have stolen a car and I can't drive.
I mean, because I live in England,
I couldn't really go anywhere that I really like because I'd have to fly there and I'd only have a few hours left, wouldn't I? So I'd probably spend the day with my loved ones.
Oh, I think I would climb Mount Fuji and die on the summit. That'd be pretty cool. At sunrise.
Yeah.
I'd die just as the sun came up over the mountains of Yamanashi Prefecture. And that'd be glorious. I mean, that wouldn't happen. I'd probably die in a toilet in Family Mart, covered in like pieces of Family Mart fried chicken, which I would down and consume in my final moments. That'd be a pretty grim way.
I'd go to Fugu restaurant and stick my head in the tank where the all fish are and then just bite them all, eat all the fish live, eat the poisonous liver, See you later, guys. I'm going out rock and roll bit style, baby.
That would be one of the few times you could legitimately try a fugu's liver and see what it tastes like before you die a horrible, horrible death. But there you go. That's what we do, Daniel. Some rather disturbing and worrying images. But for now, keep the comments, stories, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll be back next Wednesday to do it all over again. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.